Are you sick of those damn political crusaders? The anti-libertarian Libertarian Party? Sick of the violence and coercion that makes up the statist servile society with seemingly no escape? Are you looking for real practical solutions to increase your personal freedom and your invulnerability to coercion? If so, kick off your shoes, come inside the polyethylene A-tent, and let's talk Vanu. Join your hosts, Shane and Kyle, as they further explore this freedom strategy and develop it into the modern day. You're listening to the Vanu Podcast.
And welcome to the Vanu Podcast, the podcast making you invulnerable to coercion. I'm Shane, and
I'm Kyle.
Since government is the primary coercion upon individuals, this podcast and everything found on the website is covered by BIPCOT, no government license. This allows reuse and modification to anyone except for governments and the bludgies thereof. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org. And as we said before, we certainly do encourage, do whatever the hell you want with this podcast. Share it on your podcast feed, share it on your website, social media, anything you absolutely want to do with it. Please feel free to. So Kyle, welcome back, my good sir. How are things going?
Oh, well, let's see. I guess this portion of Central Texas is going through a deep freeze, relatively speaking. It even got as low as like the 40s, and like everybody's shivering, even at work and or even around town, the city, and all that. And I even saw my breath inside my apartment last night, which was an interesting feeling. So
Did your heat stop working or something?
Well, it's part of that whole financial independence thing is that, you're trying to like be really, really frugal and save money. And so basically, unless it gets down to freezing, the heater is going to, stay off at least for now, because, of course, there is this newfangled invention called the sweater.
Yeah, new, right? Rayo talked a lot about the potential of technology and, that he didn't have sweaters back in his day.
There were people at work who were kind of complaining about they don't have enough money for whatever, and I'm like, my situation's a little bit different. I'm trying to retire early, that's kind of where I'm kind of at. So, and they're like, what? And then we tried having a discussion about that, and it didn't really compute. And then they were then it got sidetracked off, and like a fourth or third person kind of hopped in and started complaining about the taxes they're going to have to pay come April. It's just, I don't know. I was trying, it was something about the weather, then it went to frugality, then taxes got brought up into it because nobody can ever follow a cohesive line of thought, apparently.
No. And, damn first realmers, right? I guess just a couple of interesting notes. I'll start by one other route that I'm pursuing for financial independence is, or financially independent early retirement, is my roommate and I are, really strongly considering purchasing a mining rig. So we're going to, obviously not mining Bitcoin. That would be, we would lose money on that, lose a lot of money. It wouldn't be worth it. But, mining altcoins like Monero. And for all the blockchain folks who are really into this, we're considering getting three or four of the Radeon RX 580s, which get about 700 to 800 hash per second for each of those. So we're hoping to max out about 3,000 hash a second, and we could make some decent money doing that. I think the estimation on Crypto Compare was, seven or eight Monero. Which is not bad, and if you're like me and you think Monero is going to skyrocket, which I think it definitely will, especially with the them adding multi-sig, quarter one of this year, so it can be even more so adopted into the deep web. I think the price is inevitably going to go up, and seven Monero, that could be in a year. I guess my prediction by the end of 2018, and predictions. I don't see why it wouldn't go up to 1,000. So. $1,000 a coin. So, $7,000, for just, already utilizing a desktop computer that I already have, and then, buying, $1,000, $1,200 worth of equipment. I think it's, You know, certainly worth it. So I guess that's the first thing. I'm really excited to get into this. I've done some small scale stuff as far as testing once I got this new desktop. But the hash rate was just really bad. I mined Monero for 5 hours on Christmas Eve and made a penny. So what I've got right now ain't cutting it. And I got to go all in and on that crypto. So I don't know, Kyle. What do you think about mining?
I think it is potentially efficacious. However, the listeners should keep in mind, I honestly don't know much about it other than I did watch a few documentaries about Bitcoin in terms of when it first started, the mining of cryptocurrencies first started, and then like how people blew out the CPUs on their laptops and all that. So, I mean, yeah, there's the more historical part of that, which is what I'm more familiar with, but not the tech stuff. And to be perfectly honest, full disclosure and all that, I have not done any of that myself. So, yes, I'm a bit skeptical, but it's not like I'm risking my own neck either. So I'm willing to keep an open mind about that kind of thing for now.
Gotcha. Right on. So I guess one other, preliminary note here is that I'm doing a series on Liberty Under Attack called Building the Second Realm, and Kyle and I are going to continue that series, about 9 episodes longer. So for those of you on LUA who heard when I said that was going to be a mini series, I lied. But it was an unintentional lie. I didn't know what this was. I didn't know that this was going to turn into the behemoth that it's going to turn into. But there's a website. Kyle wrote a book report on it. There's a book, Second Realm Book on Strategy. And there's also another one called Hashtag Agora, which is a novella. About Second Realm lifestyles and things like that. Those were taken from a website called anarplex.net. So Kyle, I'm sure you're familiar with that site still. I'm guessing you didn't just, go there, get that book and move forward. But you remember Anarplex, right?
Oh, very much so. Yeah, it's they've got a lot of fascinating PDF downloads and other such things on there that would take quite a while to get through, just to one degree or another. I think I even mirrored on the blog some of their material, like 50 Things to Do Now and some other things too.
So I just mirrored that on the LUA site this past weekend. But I mean, no, man, there's a lot of really good stuff there. I spent all of Saturday and Sunday reading some book or another. I read Hashtag Agora, which was fantastic, honestly fantastic. And then I decided to peruse the rest of their files, and I spent pretty much all weekend reading, and then on Sunday I started Net Assets, which is not a book that's on Anarplex. But returning to Anarplex, I'm honestly kind of mind blown by all of the stuff that that they have on there. I mean, these people are really, really serious, and I was so interested that I actually tried to join. They've got stuff in the ClearNet. They provide deep web services for crypto agorists. That's one thing that they do. So they have this this IRC chat where they hang out and talk. And I went in there. I left the chat open on Saturday and Sunday so I could hopefully talk to some of these people, because these guys are serious. And unfortunately, fortunately, there are about 30 of them in there. Even Smuggler, the author of Second Realm Book on Strategy, but they were all AFK for both of those days. I would type a message every few hours or so to hope that one of them will be there, but they weren't. So I guess I need to hop back in there and try to interact with some of these folks. But I don't know, Kyle. I'm really, really impressed with Anarplex, and I sent it out to I forwarded it on to Derek Bros, Ben Stone, Jamie Bukonic, because the people who are serious about solutions, need to know about that site. They need to read it, read the material on there, and better yet, I think some sort of a dialogue needs to be opened up with these folks that have been doing. They've been doing this stuff since like 2008, so this is not new material, new ground for them.
No. And just for folks who may not be familiar with Anarplex, it is crypto anarchic in its focus. There's a couple other things they kind of look at and deal with, but that's kind of the revolving theme. For instance, I don't think there's really any information about like off-grid living too much. I think they're friendly to it in a tacit way, but it's not their focus, for instance. So yeah, if you want kind of and more specifically crypto agorist type material, Anarplex is the place to go. Just don't go there looking for material on how to on van nomadism or something, because they don't I didn't see any of that kind of material on there.
Right, right. And I guess one other note. I read that they have a book on there. It's by Free and Unashamed, or I guess book. I'll call it a book, a document called "How to End All Wars." And you know, obviously the title, you know, speaking, considering I've been reading Scott Horton's book and I've been kind of ingrained in anti-war stuff for the past month or so, I said, huh, okay, yeah, I'm gonna check that out. You know, it was a good read. You know, there's some really good quotes in there. But as far as their solution to end all wars, I mean, it was obviously a valiant, you know, a valiant goal, you know, or I guess a valiant goal for them to set out to do. But at the same time, I was a little disappointed with kind of their action point. It was basically, you know, defend yourself, which, you know, that's not a bad recommendation, but for all that build up through 30 pages just to get to defend yourself, it's like, okay. Yeah, I know. Yeah, good point. But and I mean, there is really no solution to end all war, right? I mean, it's other than abolishing the state, which, I mean, yeah, we both kind of have our opinions on whether that's going to happen or not. So I guess that'd be the only caveat. That one is a good read, but it's not like the rest of the material on there. It really is not.
Well, as a side, well, not necessarily a side note, but maybe going a little bit creatively on something that could be a topic for a different episode or whatever, I think that vigilantism would be the one good potential alternative to war for certain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Or, yeah, a remedy to war. Yeah. No, I certainly agree. Certainly agree. So I guess those are all of the points that, you know, I had before we started getting started in mining. You know, hopefully in the next couple of months. And then anarplex.net, which I really do recommend the listeners go check that out. I'll put a link in the show notes. And if you're friends with me on Fascist Book, Saturday and Sunday, you saw a lot of updates and quotes from me because I was kind of mind blown by some of the stuff I was seeing on there. So highly recommend people check that website out.
Yes, yes, very much so. And one other thing I want to mention real briefly before we dive into this episode's topic and such is apparently in the Survival Society, one of my employers, because over the, let's say, Christmas holiday season or whatever the heck the Survival Society is calling it now, they were giving out prizes based on work performance and to various of my coworkers and all that. And I thought, you know, I just don't feel like it. So basically, I was active – short story here. I was actively trying not to even accidentally earn anything. So I was acting – and I was able to get away with it, which is perfectly fine because the entire thing was kind of – some of it was random and other parts of it were voluntary, so I could basically duck out of it because I'm like, hey, I've got other things, you know, there's a side thing called special projects, which it's kind of its own thing. Don't want to get too much into that because that's internal company business. But suffice it to say, I have other things not part of the normal workmarole because I'm, you know, actually a trusted employer or whatever who's like halfway competent. Making sure the inventory actually is like consistently there because they have real problems with that. Oh my God. Anyway, what was interesting though was that at one point, one of the shift managers kind of brings me aside and says, "Oh, hey, yeah, you won something." I'm like, "Wait, what?" And I'm like, "Yeah, the normal typical work where we're filling out the customer orders or whatever." Yeah, apparently I'm so good at my job that I was able to beat out 20 other people when I was deliberately trying not to do that and try to have somebody else actually do a better job. And I was like, wait, what? What happened? And I'm like, oh, yeah, you just did it like, you know, way faster or whatever. I'm like, I wasn't even trying. I was like, I wasn't even sweating. And I'm like, yeah, well, the performance metric said you did. So anyway, so one of the prizes was something called, which is what I'm using right now. Well, hold on, let me get it. It's called Beats MIXR Mixer Limited Edition and some sort of headphones.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why, Shane, that's why I said pre-show, your voice sounds rather sexy or sexier. because apparently these Beats or whatever are like really good for
you're getting the bass from my voice.
Yeah, that's why it sounds sexier, right? So that's, yeah. So it's like I really tried hard not to get any of this stuff, but then they just started throwing stuff at me. And it's like, I mean, there were some other two on other nights, and it was just kind of like, ah, fine. I'll put on a nice face and accept it. Yeah, although interestingly enough,
free,
as a side...
Free shit, man. I mean, why? I mean, and those Beats, I mean, I think those run over $100 at least. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah, you got a good little set of headphones there for sure.
Yeah, although it was kind of interesting too, because not everybody reacts the same way when it comes to prizes. Egos can get involved. There was a certain somebody else who really hates my guts and still does. She did get something one time, and it was like a gift card to like a nearby fast food place, and she was cursing up a storm and stamping her feet, and I was just chuckling off to the side. So yeah, if you kind of let your emotions,
yeah, why I don't understand. I mean, that's kind of the, you know, everything's kind of owed culture that kind of mm-hmm. exists now, unfortunately. But you know, like for me, if it's even, you know, when I've worked at other places, like if I did a task that no one else really could and that they appreciated, I had to get like a $10 gift card to like Starbucks. And I don't like Starbucks because I don't understand how people can spend $6 on a coffee. That just seems ridiculous to me. But at the same time, I was like, hey, you know, $10. Hey, that's it's free, right? It's free to me. So, you know, I don't care what it is. I don't really care. I'm not going to complain about it. You know, I only got this. I wanted the headphones. You know, it's more than you had before. Relax.
Yeah, yeah. And at the very least, gift cards are barterable. You know, I mean, you can like, hey, you know, mow my lawn or whatever, and I'll give you the gift card that I got from somebody else or whatever, you know, equal or approximate value or whatever. Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. So not only was she not thinking, it was kind of a little bit more than that. So, you know, it's almost kind of that season one material in some sense. But yeah, without belaboring the point. Yeah, so some stuff's been going on. You've got some mining. You've been reading some fiction. You reading fiction. Wow, that's not, I see. And I thought you said I was the comic book nerd, but okay.
Hey, no, these definitely not comic books. Definitely not comic books. But you know, man, I guess as one other thing, you know, hashtag Acora is great, but I wasn't really sure what I was getting into with Net Assets, but oh my gosh, I can't stop reading it. Well, obviously I did to record this podcast, but it's such a good book.
Yeah, and now you know why I hate NASA with a passion. Different topic for another episode, but specifically NASA. Bunch of Nazis. Literally, right. Operation Paperclip.
Right, yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I guess in short is kind of an overview. You know, so NASA's obviously incompetent in this fictional novel too. NASA's incompetent and you know, it's a waste of money. So some guy posts on a forum, you know, an idea to, you know, for private space exploration business, and you know, things start to work out, and obviously, you know, what does government, what's their reaction to it? Well, you know, they kind of despise it when an outlet's doing it, you know, cheaper, and you're doing multiple runs a day and such, you know, things that NASA can't do. And, you know, that libertarian anarcho-capitalists are in the book, and it's truly, truly fantastic. It's by, what's his name, Carl Buschjäger. It's really, really terrific book. And as Kyle said, I don't read fiction. Like, I really don't read fiction. I enjoy nonfiction, but, I think there's certainly some interesting things that can be gleaned from fictional stories, which I think you're working on. You're going to be writing an article on that here at some point, or maybe a book, as far as like the role of fiction and, the role of fiction in libertarianism or anarchism, I guess. So I do think there's a point there. It's not necessarily my forte, but you know, it's certainly some terrific books. Hashtag Agora and Net Assets.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it. And yes, for my book after next, I think I'm going to have to develop three different theories to try to explain some elements of the world: a theory of art, a theory of romance, and a theory of history. And the theory of art is the one that's going to be dealing with the use of fiction. And I don't know, tentatively, I'm kind of thinking about maybe it should be something along the lines of art. It's not just art imitating life, life imitating art. It's also more about just inspiring people to kind of go do things in the real world. And that just the fictional material is more of like a thought experiment or kind of like a running hypothesis that's not been tested, in order to try and help people, you know, shift their perspective on things and so forth. And maybe if they're inspired enough with the shift in perspective, they'll actually affect changes in the real world. And then we'll actually find out whether those changes were, you know, worth a damn or not. Sure. That's like the rough tentative outline. And maybe there's already a theory of art that's already something like that. But honestly, man, I mean, I've been looking in like, oh, this is something else I've been doing. I've been looking in like the institutions of higher learning, a lot of their databases and such. White papers and whatever, and I find it lacking. I mean, the only material on romance, The only material on romance, besides, of course, the one study on the addictiveness of romantic feelings or whatever, was what was pretty much a lot of psychoanalytical stuff that I pretty profoundly disagree with. For that would be a topic for another time. And then, you know, and yeah, there's 20 million different, you know, theories of history, but, you know, there's it's interesting. It's like one man's revisionism is another man's mainstream history. And so they're all kind of at each other's throats, although I know what I think. And then, yeah, going back to the art theory, mine might be unique. I don't know yet, but I'm going to try and formulate that and see maybe if hopefully can be useful to somebody someday once I'm ready to present it.
Right, right. Well, sounds like you've got a lot of ideas as always. Yeah, I'm looking forward to those being finalized. But anyways, this episode is titled "The Expansion of Vanu, Introducing Season 3," and the show notes can be found at vanupodcast.com/32. We made it. We made it. After just over a year of launching the podcast, we have finally arrived at Season 3, and man, it's great to be here. It's great to be here. This is something we've been waiting for a long time.
Yeah, wow, and think about that, too. Two seasons within a year. We're already doing better than Rick and Morty, right? Ooh, pop culture reference.
Right, right. And I actually did look at the first episode of Vanu was released on January 17th. And we are recording this on January 3rd, but this will be released on January 23rd. So by the time this is released, it would have been 365 plus 6, 361 days since the launch of the Vanu podcast. So that's pretty quick year. A really, really quick year. And I don't know what else to say about that, but almost a year, man.
Well, can we give ourselves a birthday cake? You know, first year anniversary or whatever.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's, yeah, certainly, I guess, an abstract birthday cake, yeah.
The abstract birthday cake. Well, I guess the closest thing is actually I've been drinking eggnog, but yeah.
Spiked eggnog or just regular eggnog?
No. I'm sober. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, never ever record a podcast while under the influence.
Hey, well, not under the influence, but getting to that point. I typically drink beer while recording, but
yeah.
So, anyways, I guess let's what better way to start you know this episode than by discussing the goals and purpose of this season of the Vanu podcast. So, to review, season one was the philosophy of Vanu, wherein we went deep into the underlying philosophy behind this freedom strategy. In season two, we covered the practice of Vanu, or the solutions represented in his writings. In this season three, as per the title, we will develop Vanu to the modern day. This will consist of updating the strategies represented, expanding drastically beyond the confines of his writing, examining modern case studies, eventually some new solutions that even the old man himself didn't think of, and fill in all of the missing pieces from when Kyle or I said, we'll cover that more in Season 3. So I suppose that kind of covers both the purpose and the goals, but I know that, and I'm really happy you're doing this, but you're actually going back through season one and season two, or maybe just season two, and trying to find all those points where we said we'll cover that in season three to, you know, make sure that we actually get back to that, because, you know, what would be the best way to put this? Or I guess just, you know.
Breadcrumbs. Yeah. Breadcrumbs,
picking
my friend.
Up the breadcrumbs, best way to put it, yeah.
Yeah, those were verbal breadcrumbs. And, yeah, that was kind of done on purpose so that, you know, on re-listening, if you will, or I guess listening for the first time since we also recorded it, you know, we could go back and say, oh, that's right, the bloppity blop needed to be done for season three. We'll do an episode or two or three on that or however much needs to be done. So, yeah, that's kind of that. I mean, that was kind of the only way to keep everything straight, so we didn't let anything fall through the cracks. Don't want that, right? I mean, considering this is Vanu, there's more than enough material, but still want to be thorough.
Sure, yeah, and I think that'd be awfully rude to the listeners. They listen to an episode and they're like, oh my gosh, like I really want to hear what they have to say about that. I guess I'll wait till season three, and then season three comes and that's never returned to. I think that'd be a really bad thing to do to the listeners. So yeah, we'll certainly do our best to prevent any such things happening. So Kyle, we talked about you know, before recording, what would be kind of the way that we'd introduce season three. Because I don't want to just, you know, do a normal, you know, generic introduction, but something a little different, you know, give the listeners, you know, idea of what to expect us to cover here in season three. So I guess let's talk about that for the duration of this episode. And you know, I guess kind of, you know, give them an idea. So I guess what sort of things can they expect us to talk about in season three?
Well, let's see. I think Rayo mentioned throughout the original Vanu book that there were certain things he was aware of and certain things that he was definitely A-OK with, but he just didn't know very much about, and things that would need to be, well, expanded upon, so to speak. So whether it would be when he would be mentioning about, like, the food bar thing, you know, put in dead organic matter into a hopper, you know, press a program, you know, push a button, and then out pops a food bar. Well, I don't know. It's not exactly like 3D printing, but it does sound an awful lot like a version on a theme of additive manufacturing, doesn't it?
Sure, yeah.
So I guess maybe an episode on 3D printing may very well be in the works.
Right, and how 3D printing could, you know, assist Vanuans or help build the Second Realm. I think that'd be a really interesting episode. Because, I mean, we're just kind of, as far as the technology goes, we're still kind of brushing the surface as far as 3D printing. That's still it was a lot more cost prohibitive, you know, a couple of years ago. But I see ads on Fascist Book a lot for, you know, $300-$400 3D printers. So maybe those are becoming more of a reality now. So yeah, I think an episode on that and how, you know, 3D printers could assist Vanuans, and maybe even hand in hand with that, things like CNC machining, you know, to create means of self defense for other Vanuans is maybe an ethical enclave sort of business. I don't know.
Yeah, kind of like Defense Distributed's Ghost Gunner invention or something similar to that, right? You know, and on another crypto anarchist note, I think Rayo also mentions, you know, about like the underground banks and sending, you know, money or
sending
some
money
equivalent
through the net, yeah.
Through the net was how he put it, right? And so obviously we should probably do an episode about cryptocurrencies and blockchain technology and things related to that, because if anything, that seems to be the real world, you know, all these decades later, fulfillment of what Rayo was kind of getting at with that one point. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I definitely would. I definitely would. And as I've said many times before, and I will say to the point of probably irritation for the listeners, at least, that, you know, blockchain technology is, you know, I really do believe it to be the technology of the Second Realm. Actually, it already is. It already is. It just requires some fine tuning and making it, you know, effective for the end users, easy to use. But I think beyond just talking about, I guess, kind of the self-liberational capabilities of blockchain technology, I think also, you know, doing some episodes or maybe just one episode on cryptocurrency speculation and trading might be important, because as I said in the Financial Independence episode and maybe in the conclusion episode of season two, that is one of the greatest tools to financial independent early retirement. There are a lot of people becoming made rich by cryptocurrencies. And you don't have to become a Bitcoin millionaire. But you know, you make a few a few hundred thousand dollars off cryptocurrencies and you just continue speculating. I mean, that kind of eliminates the need for full-time employment, you know, I guess minus, you know, if you need, you know, health insurance or something. Right. So, I mean, I think, you know, an episode on speculation or trading might be good. Yeah, I think so.
I agree. I think we need to do an episode on cryptocurrency speculation just by itself. And speaking of financial independence,
maybe mining too.
Oh, cryptocurrency mining. I mean, maybe that could be either the same episode or maybe that could be a two-parter or something to that effect. I don't know. Depends how the outline goes. Depends how much detail we need to go into. I would assume more detail the better. So maybe that needs to be two episodes. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. And speaking of financial independence, good segue, by the way. There was if I remember correctly, as part of the original LUA DAS series on financial independence way back in the day, it was actually four paths to financial independence that Jake DeSillis mentioned. But when we opened up season two of TVP on financial independence, we only covered two of them because those were the only ones that Rayo had any knowledge of and only mentioned explicitly. And we kind of, well, purposely didn't mention the other two because it wasn't relevant to anything Rayo was mentioning. So here in season three, not only do I think we need to get into the other two paths of financial independence, I think we need to go into more detail on all four of them. So I'm not just so I would just kind of tentatively suggest maybe not just one episode on, you know, the early retirement type material.
Episode on all of them. Episode
Yes, I'm thinking it might need to be a mini series of sorts where we go look at each path and so forth, kind of like what we did in season two with kind of the like local congregations.
Oh,
and
yeah, the local areas of liberty. Yeah,
localized areas of liberty mini series as part of season two, and I think there needs to be a financial independence mini series in season three because it's a lot of material, ladies and gentlemen. So yeah, we've been holding back and holding back and holding back, and now we get to, you know, let it rip, so to speak. So the info, we'll try and spread out the info dump as much as possible, but yeah, it'll still be quite a bit, and I think it's going to be
really dense material too. It kind of has to be. If you're going to put these things into action, you've got to know the information. You got to do your grammar work, and we're going to help you with your grammar work there. But yeah, I mean, financial independence, early retirement is certainly, absolutely crucial to pursuing Venuance, as we talked about. I mean, every one of these strategies has, there is some sort of investment capital that needs to be there, whether it's a few hundred bucks or whether it's a few thousand or whether it's, something more in the realm of, like 20 or 30,000, right? So that is an absolutely crucial step. And I think another thing when you talk about kind of in the realm of money is, I guess, location-independent jobs. I think there needs to be an episode specifically on that, and try to give people, ideas of what sort of jobs, are out there for that. Because that would, if you have a location-independent job, that's, is a great step forward, to Venuance, as far as mobility. So I think that'd be another interesting episode to do.
Yeah, I mean, depending on the amount of detail, maybe we could combine that with like the episode on freelancing as a way of achieving financial independence. But then again, if it's a lot of detail, that might need to be its own episode too. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, if there's more detail than not, we'll be more than happy to split it up to kind of spread out the info dump, so to speak. and actually, interestingly enough, speaking about location independence, in a manner of speaking, not just with jobs, Urban Vanu, Rayo even mentioned about how, and more specifically about the third approach of Urban Vanu, Vanuing in cities, was like what he called the hidden bedchamber approach. He even said, quote, "I have not attempted it nor even thought much about it. I welcome the insights of anyone who has," end quote. So he even admitted that there was like different ways of doing that, and specifically with the hidden bedchamber, but he just wasn't familiar with it. Well, you know what? I think I've mentioned a few times by now that I've got some ideas, and yeah, they do need to be tested to be sure. Or if I get really lucky, I'll actually maybe someone can beat me to the punch and kind of test it. And if they're willing to go public, we can maybe do an episode on that. I don't know. But that would be rather interesting.
Sorry, just so I don't forget, I think we need to do an episode on city psychological pressures, as part of the Vanu in Cities miniseries. Well, maybe it'll be longer. I think it'll be a longer series, actually, as I've said. Mm-hmm. There's a handful of strategies that we have to cover. And so I think, as what tends to happen when we converse, Kyle, the three potential solutions we have turn into like six or seven. So,
Good. So
I think an episode on city psychological pressures and how to overcome them, is absolutely crucial, because that was Rayo's major hang up with Vanu in Cities, or I guess his major issue was,
yes,
if you're around it all the time. I mean, in his words, paraphrasing, I don't see how you couldn't kind of fall prey to those, how it wouldn't drive you insane.
Yeah, I mean, I deal with city psychological pressures all the time, and I agree with you. That's a great episode title by itself for season three, is city psychological pressures, and
dealing
then whatever
with
the subtitles.
City psychological pressures, yeah.
Sure. And yeah, probably a different episode on park squatting too, that fourth approach. The fifth approach, van nomadism with city squat spots. I mean, there's actually some real world case studies we can actually draw upon to kind of evaluate kind of the good, the bad, and the indifferent, or just plain ugly.
Yes.
We can
do that. We have the full realm, and I guess the full freedom to do that here in season three, where we had to kind of hold some stuff back in season two. For any case studies we can find on anything we're going to talk about, or any subjects we're going to discuss, we're certainly going to talk about it. I mean, that's just a guarantee, right? We need real world case studies for these things. In addition to you know, TVP or TVP interviews, which you know, they actually haven't even heard that episode yet. I'm saving that for whenever we actually have one recorded. There might actually be communicating with one of them right now, so I guess we'll just see on that. But yeah, man, I guess first and foremost, I think I'm really looking forward to the cryptocurrency, I guess, series, and then Vonnegut Cities is probably number one in my opinion right now, because unfortunately for the time being, at least until I learn my electrician trade, I'm kind of stuck in the city too. I don't necessarily have to be, but as far as convenience now, versus, you know, going, you know, driving, commuting 2 hours total every single day, this is kind of the best option for me now, especially when I'm not financially independent yet.
Right. And something I want to mention before I forget, you know, for those of you who stuck with us all through season one and season two, something I think a lot of you folks remember is that a lot of times we actually did have to hold back because we were also trying to stick to what Rayo himself said about, you know, X or Y subject. And we were trying to stick as close as faithfully to the first Vanu book as close as possible. I mean, yes, we would kind of fill in what we perceive to be like maybe some, not necessarily holes, but like the gaps, filling in some gaps here and there to try and make it more contextually relevant. But otherwise, we really try to keep it as pure to Rayo as possible. Season three is pretty much almost the polar opposite of seasons one and two, in that we're still abiding by the same spirit of Vanu, at least we're going to try to. However, instead of deferring so much to Rayo, instead, we're just going to let it rip. And as long as we keep to the spirit of trying to pursue invulnerability to coercion, other than that, and of course, I mean, obviously, we'll need to bring in mean time to harassment every now and again, because remember, that's the strength of Vanu and so forth. That's just, you know, good, you know, judgment of whether something, you know, does a particular method work or not. Well, we gauge it through MTH, for example. Then that's all well and good. But I think one major difference of season three from the previous two, just so the, you know, y'all listeners understand, is that I don't think we're going to say something along the lines of, well, on this thing, Rayo said, you know, here are the five different quotes and let's discuss it. I don't think we're going to really do that so much. I mean, maybe every once in a while we'll bring Rayo in again, but that won't be like the singular major focus.
No, we're going far beyond, you know, far beyond Rayo. And I think he'd be, you know, even him, you know, if we were to stick with what he said this entire time without actually developing, I think he would get a little frustrated. I don't think that's what would be what he wanted. So yeah, I guess kind of furthermore, just a little bit here, I'm really looking forward to talking about country shopping too. Recall that this was something that, you know, that Rayo mentioned. It was very kind of primitive versus what it is today. Make your money in one place and spend it in another. That was kind of what he talked about. Make your money in America, spend it in the Caribbeans. But there's there's some developments when it comes to country shopping. It's a very, very common thing. Hell, I mean, I can think of a handful of Twitter handles that have followed me, you know, on LUA and TVP, you know, they're expats. You know, they country shop all the time. And then there's, I guess, another kind of closely synonymous term is perpetual traveling, which, you know, there are those folks out there. And there's actually kind of the development of the five flag theory now. Which will be certainly interesting to get into more so when we get to that episode. But you know, for those folks that are getting rich off cryptocurrencies and don't want to pay taxes on them, you know, one great way to avoid that is you know, country shopping. If the coercers can't find you, they can't coerce you. So I don't know, man. I'm looking forward to that one too.
Amen. Amen to that. I mean, I've got a lot to learn when it comes to that kind of thing. But yeah, I do understand the basics of it, at least as it's been explained to me. One of the thing I thought of, too, you know, there was the episode we did on legal interstices back in the first season. I think for this third season, because of my experience with legal research, but also like actually testing legal remedies and seeing, you know, whether they're, you know, worth a damn or not, that very well might need to be its own mini series as well, where each episode we look at a particular purported remedy and then we try to come to a conclusion about, you know, does this legal interstice at least kind of maybe help you potentially gain greater invulnerability, or if not invulnerability, because remember it is an interstice, does it at least give you greater liberty, as you know, as Rayo himself would kind of put it? And because remember, there's all sorts of folks under various ideological labels of one flavor or another who claim to offer some sort of, you know, violence-free yet legally approved way to change your affairs with the state, and that's how you're gonna, you know, break free of whatever and whatever. But then at the end of the day, it just ends up putting people in jail.
Right. Yeah. I think that's we definitely need to do an episode on that, because Rayo utilized legal exercises. He got a driver's license. But again, you know, use them if they help you, but don't rely upon them. Liberty is up to, you know, laws and their interpretations often change or thereabouts. So an episode on legal exercises, you know, applied to modern day, I think would be wise, as, you know, some Venuans might choose to pursue some of those things. And I don't see anything wrong with that, as long as, you know, they keep in mind that they're not worth relying upon, and that the state can close them down whenever. And it's basically at the behest of the state that you're able to enjoy said liberty.
Oh, and speaking about legal things, just from you mentioned the great quote by Rayo about laws and their interpretations often change. One thing before I forget, at the time of this recording, I actually, because some people at work were kind of complaining about both the so-called left and so-called right were complaining about the new law that was passed and signed by El Presidente or whatever regarding tax issues or whatever. I actually went and did check it real quickly, and unless they start reneging on it or whatever, supposedly after December 31st, I believe it was 2018, because remember, everything with tax laws is always delayed by about a year, because that's how the accounting works, supposedly, or whatever. The individual mandate for the Obamacare thing is going to be abolished. So I guess there's that, but then it's like, well, between now and then, for like the next fiscal year, the individual mandate still applies. So yeah, so talk about laws and their interpretations often changing. It's like, well, you know, it's just anyway, yeah. That's all. As Rayo himself said, that's all liberants. And do you really want to place your freedom, or more accurately, your pursuit of invulnerability on, you know, from some, you know, some wannabe plutocrat from New York?
Yeah.
You know, just saying, you know, and of course it was passed by Congress too. So you have all of those people with all of their, you know, 20 million different issues and so forth, because they can't even obey their own constitution. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Or even worse, maybe they are obeying the constitution, but the government really is just this bad, because that's government for you. It's the state, basically. Topic for another time. But suffice it to say, yeah, laws and their interpretations often change. Yeah, no kidding. It even said in the new law, 0%. Instead of what the original individual mandate thing said, which was whatever the percentage was. So, yeah, laws and their interpretations often change. Yeah, especially in our democratic republic. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of legal interstices, and we've mentioned this, you know, many times before, too. But van nomadism, we've got a lot of work to do on developing that strategy. I would say, I guess, just as kind of a preview, at least my thoughts so far. I think as far as van nomadism and legal exercises haven't changed much, except maybe mandatory insurance. I don't think the legal exercises there are going to be much different. But you know, ways on dealing with them, maybe. And beyond that, just you know, the updates on technology. You know, the decrease in the cost of vehicles since Rayo pursued this strategy, and you know, how easy it is to how easy, I'll put that in quotes, how easy and cost effective it is to actually make your van, you know, off grid. So certainly a handful of episodes on that at least, and then maybe even some intermission episodes on it too. I don't know, but yeah, lots of stuff on van nomadism coming, and it's one of Rayo's favorite strategies, so I think it's kind of appropriate.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm kind of looking forward to with the van nomadism expansion, because that's the whole point of season 3 is the expansion of Vanu. I'm really looking more towards the more how to, almost engineering type information, in a sense. Like, you know, so like the so-called van dwellers who's they like to film themselves on and put it up on YouTube or whatever. One of the things I'm kind of interested in is like, how do you construct like the shelving that you put into the van? Because apparently there's like 20 million different ways to do it, supposedly. So looking at like the at least the major styles and ways of doing it would be pretty cool. And apparently there's also there are some makes and models that are better than some other makes and models, allegedly. And I know when we originally did our Van Nomadism episode for season two, we were trying to we had our disclaimer about we were not like endorsing any particular make and model over any others. But supposedly some people are claiming that they do matter. So I guess we'll evaluate that maybe. The only thing I'll say for right now is, having watched some of that stuff even recently, apparently there are conversion vans of certain makes and models that are actually being sold brand new, specifically aimed towards people who are living in their vans full time. Unfortunately, these conversion vans, I've seen some of them marked up when I went to go double check on the makes and models, would be running upwards of like $65,000. $65,000.
Oh man,
you know,
some just came to mind here. You know, as far as you know, your I guess is maybe kind of an ethical enclave job, or maybe as I guess a location independent sort of thing, or maybe just kind of an entrepreneurial venture for Venuans, you know, to design you know, off grid vans vans for people who are pursuing van nomadism, you know, cheaper than kind of the manufacturers. That's kind of what I'm trying to do with you know, learning the electrician trade. Is once I learn it, I want to, you know, I want to go into business as the Agorist electrician and you know, help people build their off grid you know, electricity systems. There's very much a need for services like that. You know, not having to pay $65,000 because that's ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, and to my current knowledge, or shall I say lack of knowledge regarding the state's legal requirements of people going into that kind of business, at this juncture, I would assume most, if not all, of that kind of stuff you just mentioned is probably going to be gray market. And if I'm right, then yes, it would technically count as ethical enclave activity. Because, I mean, that's just the same thing as the Agorist notion of the counter economy. And that's the same thing, right? There's gray market activity and black market activity. And unless the state is directly regulating, taxing something, which is white market, or it's outright banning something, outlawing it, which, of course, is black market, then the only other real option left would be, if we're talking about ethically A-OK activity, because the unethical stuff is the red and pink markets, obviously, which is what the state does and organized crime syndicates and such. The only other option is, of course, gray market, which would be, I would assume at this juncture, would be kind of the stuff you were mentioning. So
not getting business licenses if it requires an electrician's license or something like that from the state. Just doing a legal form of employment, but just not conforming to the arbitrary whims of those who falsely imagine themselves to be our rulers. Yeah.
Yeah. And as far as I can tell, that's all well and good. And who knows? I mean, yeah, maybe we'll do an episode or two on the second realm, and that can be kind of a further development on what we mentioned on ethical enclaves in season two, I suppose. But yeah, I think there were also maybe one or two other things you'd like to mention for season three, some examples.
Yeah, I think, and this would be more in line with the crypto anarchism stuff, but that's the stuff I'm kind of you know, most excited for, because anyone can do these things. I mean, I can do all of these things with my laptop right now. But things like modern encryption, so I guess two things. One just came to mind. Modern encryption. And also open source programs in like Linux. So first off with encryption, all Venuans, you know, kind of is there a kind of a requirement that you practice security culture, at least to some degree. And encryption is a very easy way to do that. You know, to help with your privacy and to keep your information out of the prying eyes of the state. So things like PGP, which you've done tutorials on, pretty good privacy for email. I think we could do some episodes do an episode on that. Mm-hmm. You know, encrypted instant messaging. you know, there's a lot of stuff that could be done in the realm of encryption that we could talk about.
Yeah.
With open source programs, I think another, you know, great way, well, I guess this goes along with security culture too. If you use Linux, you're using open source, you know, an open source operating system, and you know, if you and that's you know, certainly preferable to, you know, Windows, who's was going to send all your shit you know, directly to the government, essentially through the is it the prison program,
something like that. There's multiple ones, but that's one
sure,
of them. Yeah,
sure. So I mean, using open source programs, and also you know, not rewarding the bad behavior of some of these you know, corporations with all of their data sharing and such. I think using open source programs is a lot you know, a lot more ethical, as well as you know, these things are free, right? Most of these things are free and open source. So I think that'd be another very good episode. You know, what open source programs you know, should Venuans be using? I think that would be another interesting one.
Sure. And now that you've mentioned security culture, I mean, I know this is probably the third mini series recommendation I'm kind of postulating here, but maybe we need to do a mini series on security culture and have like different components to that. Not necessarily rehashing my second book, but which is currently available, which is all about security culture. But maybe at least some stuff and emphasizing more the encryption part of it, I suppose. And sure. That, I mean, because Rayo didn't. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think PGP, let's see, yeah, Phil Zimmerman, I mean, all that stuff with PGP, I think was in the 90s, if I'm,
yeah.
And that would be well after Rayo disappeared, so it wasn't even invented yet by the time Rayo disappeared, so that's not on him at all. It's just, I mean, that's just the chronology at that point of what things happened when. So in terms of expanding Vanu, yeah, something like PGP for email.
And by the way, you can email both Kyle and I using PGP. Our public keys are there, vanupodcast.com. If you find the contact us button, our public keys are there. So please, you know, if you use encryption, if you use PGP, you know, why not send it to us encrypted? Yeah, go ahead.
Right, and also there's no reason we can't mention, you know, OTR, off the record for instant messaging, and then of course ZRTP for VoIP calls and such. And those, yeah, I mean, so whether it's the email, the instant messaging, or VoIP calls, I mean, all of that stuff is encryptable. Is that a word? Encryptable? I think it should be.
Well, it is now.
yeah, English is a living language and all that, especially with all the slang and some other things, right?
And we need to do an episode, because I actually just downloaded this and started tooling around with it, but the Invisible Internet Project, I2P.
Okay.
Very, very interesting. It's been around for a long time, but might be something worth looking into. I know you can get, you know, email, chat, file sharing. I think it's built, I don't have all the information. I wish I did right now, but I guess that's what the episode is for. But apparently it's built on the back of the internet, but it's, you know, invisible internet. So I don't know. We'll have to do some looking into it. As far as I know, it's got a really good reputation. And I mean, that's, you know, through IRC, that's how you kind of connect to, the Anarplex folks. And since they are the experts on deep web services, I would imagine, that they would only choose the best. So, yeah, I think that'd be another. I mean, there's so many episodes, man, and I'm really excited for us actually kind of get into season 3. But yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh no, it's fine. It's just, you know, mentioning that. Well, heck, we might as well also do a separate episode, or maybe we combine it with a different one on mesh networking. You know, I mean, if you're kind of implying, well, we should have our own internet, then okay. I mean, if mesh networking works in, you know, certain, you know, third world cesspits, I think it can probably work in the so-called first world and all that. So it's just that, are people willing to set up a mesh network or 2 or 5 or 20 or whatever? But then they actually have to understand how
those,
it works.
And for those folks, you know, hopefully none of them are listening to the Vani podcast. For those who, you know, who wanted net neutrality, that law, to stay in place so the FCC could protect the internet. If you're one of those folks and you're worried about that, you know, now that it's repealed and, you know, all hell is going to break loose and the internet's going to be dead and all that sort of stuff, well, if that's truly a fear, then you know, get yourself a mesh network node. You know, I've talked to Jamin about this, and I mean, you could set up a mesh network node on a Raspberry Pi, and Raspberry Pi's cost, you know, what, $50-$100. So you can actually just download the programs for the node, and it can just, all the algorithms are there already. So if you're fearful about that sort of thing, get a mesh network node. Encourage all of your friends and family to get a mesh network node, and then we don't have to worry about the big bad corporations, or the state doing anything to the internet. So as I said earlier, the second realm infrastructure is here. The infrastructure for the Vani mini cultures, the Vani mini cultures, it's here. It's here. It's just, since these things are open source and decentralized, it takes users. I guess that's all I got there.
Before I forget, wait a minute. Can't you have like a blockchain vis-a-vis on like a mesh network then?
Yep.
Oh, now we can combine two and three things. Well, at that point, I just need to get an offline wallet for cold storage, and then I can just kind of bypass the mainstream internet and just buy stuff without even using dollars at that point. The Ferns, Federal Reserve notes, right?
Yep.
Oh,
exactly.
That's exciting. So we have our own money. We have our own internet equivalent. Ooh, it's like
our own infrastructure as far as like energy.
What
the hell is the need for the first realm? There isn't a need for it all. I mean, it just takes, people with initiative. It takes freedom pioneers, and those freedom pioneers that are out there, there's a damn good chance you're listening to the Vani podcast.
I would say perhaps once that stuff gets rolling and is much more, not quite ubiquitous, but let's say more regular, I wouldn't be surprised if there would be an increased market demand for freemates, buddy.
Yeah,
I would totally see it. Yeah, if we can communicate with each other and we can trade, then yeah, I think the dating pool would also start to be actually start broaching something actually realistic instead of just, random blips here and there. Nothing against, freemates as they are now. I'm just saying, I think if those other communications and trade are much more used on a much more frequent and regular basis, I think the dating pool for Venuans would skyrocket.
Oh yeah, yeah. And this was something from Anarplex. I'm going to butcher the quote here, but these technologies are here, they're just waiting for people to take them up and kind of leave the first realm. Well, I guess all that's really necessary now is for freedom pioneers, for entrepreneurs, for developers to put these things into a really nice, neat package. The withdrawal from the first realm package, maybe it could be, there you go, entrepreneurs, the withdrawal from the first realm package. You get all of these things, all of the things you need for infrastructure, and it's for, an easy monthly price of $29.99. you want to talk about how, once it gets to that point, it's like, okay, I can withdraw from all this nonsense and, that everything's already in place and $29.99 a month. I'm in. So all that stuff is here right now, and as we get further into season three, we'll go so much further in depth. And for some of these subjects like mesh networking, you can probably expect this will be an interview on the main podcast feed, on the main season three feed. But for some of these things, I think Kyle and I will kind of be forced to have guests on, because I don't know about you, Kyle, but some of this stuff goes over my head.
And that's all well and good. I mean, much like the LUA's Direct Action series, I mean, if there are, for lack of a better term, subject matter experts, but more accurately, people who had firsthand knowledge with a particular, topic because they've actually done the thing that they're talking about, then I think that that's more beneficial than not, right? That's kind of still in the same spirit of like Rayo's writings, where he would, ask people in his articles or letters or whatever for certain types of information, and then they would reply back, and we can see those articles/letters and so forth. So I think like people who are willing to go public and, be interviewed about, such and such a method or topic or whatever, I think that's healthy. I mean, at that point, the only difference is, they're verbally saying it instead of writing it down. But as a form of literature, the only real difference is that it's audible versus written. Other than that, I still think it's in the same spirit of what Rayo and his compadres were doing back in his time. At least I think so.
Right. Yeah. And we need to do another episode on something along the lines of, because if you remember in hashtag Agora, they had they called iPhones spy phones, which I think is appropriate, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they also had I don't know what they called the phones, but They were, you know, encrypted phones. Like, they were encrypted, untraceable. I think we need to do an episode on, like, I guess even broaching if that's even possible. And, you know, if there are ways to go about doing that. And I think my article, are anonymous cell phones even possible or something like that. I wrote it for LUA.
Right, something like the Dark Android Project or some modified version thereof. Yeah.
We want to give you guys the tools that you can use to make yourself more invulnerable to coercion. That's the objective here, obviously, but go ahead.
Yeah, and in hashtag Agora, that novella you finished reading, if I remember that one scene, not to spoil the story too much, what those one batch of crypto Agoras were selling were modded laptops. So it was, and even one of the characters kind of gave it.
They were essentially ghost pads.
Yeah, pretty much. And so, and not only that, I think there was that other fella you mentioned. I think at some other time about who was selling the tails on
that's the same guy, Jamin. Jamin's the one selling the ghost pads too. Yeah.
Okay, that's the same.
I imagine he'll be on LU or he'll be here on TVP at some point for some subject. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I think that thing is kind of healthy. One other thing before I forget, we should probably do. We can probably do this in one episode. A expansion of sorts, or a more specific focus of one of that season two episode we did on self-liberational media, and focusing on Vanu fiction. Because I think there's been a demand, correct me if I'm wrong, I think there's been a demand for that. Like some Vanu people, I believe, was the tentative working title, I suppose.
Well, I wouldn't say I don't know of a demand for it, except, you know, there's a demand for me. You know, I want to read, you know, more things like hashtag Agora, I want to read more things of people pursuing Vanu lifestyles. But I do think, you know, as far as fiction, I know there are a lot of readers out there, and especially when it comes to subjects like these. So yeah, some Vanu people needs to happen, and I'm sorry, guys, I put that up a few months ago thinking I'd have time to get that going, which, you know, I should have known, and plus my fiction writing. I think I've written one fiction thing, and it was our joint article, Kyle, Jumping the Menarchist Ship. That first part is the only fiction I've ever written. So I guess if there are any fiction writers out there that want to help us out with some Vanu people, go for it. But as far as, you know, Vanu fiction, yes, it needs to happen. It needs to happen because I want to read it.
Yeah, and I think the closest thing to Vanu fiction that I've published was the interestingly titled An Agorist Anecdote, where the lady you're following is basically doing some very Vanu type things, even though in the story I had her as an Agora specifically for other reasons. So, and if you think about it too, like with Agorism, you know, they already have their fiction, right? There was Alongside Night, which was the very first novel. You have hashtag Agora, which to my knowledge is the very first Agorist novella. And then there's, of course, as I mentioned a moment ago, An Agorist Anecdote, which is probably, I can't say it's 100% certain, but at the risk of tooting my own horn, I think it's probably the very first short story, Agorist short story. But that's the closest thing to Vanu fiction, at least at this time. It's not exactly Vanu. It's close, though. But I think to do Vanu justice, I think there needs to be explicitly Vanu fiction of some kind.
And there needs to be a lot of it.
Yeah, because and as we've explained on previous TVP episodes, especially the one on ethical enclaves, agorism is not for the risk adverse. The nice thing about Vanu is that it caters to both people who are risk adverse and also not risk adverse. So it's more flexible in that sense. And if there were some hypothetical postulatings in the form of fiction about how somebody can transition from the servile society to being at least a functional Vanuan, then, you know, they're pursuing Vanuance, right? They're on their way. They're developing it. You know, it's not, as the old man said, it's not black and white. It is shades of gray. There is a spectrum. And yeah, that's where mean time and harassment also kind of comes into play too, as the strength of Vanu kind of measuring how far along the line you are, so to speak, which I think is healthy. But also consider something too. Not all paths to Vonder need to be the same. As we've, you know, as was mentioned in previous episodes. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there are some people that will go to van nomadism specifically, and maybe combine it with one or two other things. But maybe that'll be their one thing. And there'll be other people who, for whatever reason, can't get a driver's license. So therefore, maybe they'll need to do some urban Vonu and maybe crypto anarchism stuff first, and maybe one or two other things. And then there's different paths. There's different ways to go about getting a higher mean time to harassment and therefore becoming more and more invulnerable, so to speak.
I think furthermore that we need to do some episodes on potential, and I think this would be after we kind of cover, after we, you know, cover these subjects, but later on in season three, do kind of potential combinations of these strategies and how such a Vonu lifestyle may I guess how it may work. So kind of in the same spirit as some Vonu people, but it would be more so just you and I conversing about a hypothetical lifestyle that, you know, John Smith could have if he pursued crypto anarchism, Vonu in cities, and you know, and maybe financial independence or something like that. I think that would be really, really powerful. The potential combinations of these various Vonu strategies and how freeing and how possible these things really are.
Exactly. I definitely agree with the concept of like combining different things, especially once we get farther on down the line through season three. One, and I know I've been recommending different miniseries. Last one for this introduction, I swear. We should probably have a separate miniseries on Vonu shelters. But unlike the season two episode on Vonu shelters, where we were giving a more broad overview and then, of course, focusing on what Rayo had to say, instead for season three, for that miniseries, let's actually go through each shelter type and probably, depending on the amount of detail of information, unless we're going to combine a couple different shelters per episode, maybe with a theme for that episode, unless we're going to do that, perhaps have each episode be a different shelter, an actual Vonu shelter.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that too. So, ladies and gentlemen, I know maybe this is one of our longer introductions, perhaps, but I hope the impression you're getting is that the detail and quality and, yes, even amount of information regarding practicing, or shall we say, expanding upon Vonu is quite an expansion, to say the least. And not only that, Shane, but I'm also kind of looking forward to, like I've been saying, you know, just a little bit ago, I really want to start applying, engaging the success and efficacy of certain methods relative to others using mean time to harassment. I really want to do some MTH. And yes, some of it may be a little speculative, at least at first, but I want to get some like hard data at least and say, well, is such and such better at, you know, 10 MTH versus 100 MTH? Well, I guess maybe method X is 10 and maybe method Y is maybe even 1,000-year MTH. That would be pretty cool, actually.
And when we kind of conclude, like, so for Vonu and cities or van nomadism, I think at the end of that, once we've, you know, had our discussions and postulated our ideas, I think every single one of those mini-series, so to speak, should end with an assessment of the mean time to harassment. I think that'd be that'd be wise, for sure.
Yes,
for sure.
I definitely think that would be definitely a good way to kind of do it and give the listeners kind of a good gauge by which to then they can go and make their own judgments and, most importantly, go do things, go, you know, make a commitment and act on these different methods that is best for them.
Sure. So we're about an hour in, and I like the style of this this season three. I mean, give the listeners a really good idea of what to expect, and as you said, the sheer amount of information, amount of detail that we can go into, the sheer amount of possibilities and strategies that that we will cover in season three. But I guess let's go ahead and begin to close out here. Do you have any thoughts you'd like to leave listeners with?
Probably just a few. I would say first, and feel free to disagree with me on this if you feel otherwise. I think unlike the first two seasons, where we were kind of looking forward to the next one, as well as there was a definite end point, right? We were kind of covering a curriculum of sorts where there was a definite end point. In contrast not only are we not going to really kind of look forward to the next season so much, but I believe that at least at this juncture, this season's going to be open-ended.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. There's no reason. I mean, the expansion of Vanu. I mean, I don't know what other series could come after this, or what other seasons. I really don't know. So yeah, I agree with you. It's open-ended. The end date, TBD. Hopefully long into the future.
And who knows? I mean, maybe if things change, maybe there would be a season beyond this. But at least at this juncture, with this introduction of season 3, and we definitely have talked about this quite a bit, off and on. But yeah, as we're going public with this now, there's no end date for this. This is going to be open ended because, again, the theme is the expansion of Vanu. So with that expansion, there's also going to be an expansion of information and such. And now we really get to. And instead of us base and instead and like I said earlier, instead of mainly Rayo mentioning his, kind of like laying the groundwork and then you and I kind of commenting on it and filling in the gaps. Now it's mainly going to be you and I and then whomever else, with like case studies or maybe with some specific topics. So, yeah, the old man will get mentioned. Rayo will be mentioned every now and again, but he's not going to take center stage. I think that's the one major difference is now you and I get to take center stage on this one, which I have to admit I've been looking forward to.
Yes, definitely, definitely. Anything else before I close this out?
I would just let the listeners perceive that maybe their recommendations, if they ever want to contact us and give us any suggestions as to what episodes they would like to see. I think at this juncture too, I think we should be open to that. Again, you and I can't cover every single conceivable thing, but I think we can do at least the heavy lifting, I think is fair to say. So sure. Yeah.
We need to do and this isn't for season 3, but, we do need to do another Q&A too. I really enjoyed that. I'm glad you mentioned that. If you guys have any ideas for episodes for season 3, I mean, it is kind of open ended. I mean, we're not confined to the parameters of season 1 and season 2. If you have any suggestions for show ideas, anything you want us to cover in depth or anything like that, questions, comments, critiques, anything like that, please send them to us, Shane@VonniePodcast.com, Kyle@VonniePodcast.com, or as always, feel free to get a hold of me on Fashspeak. You can't get a hold of Kyle there because he doesn't use it, but you can get a hold of me in my personal accounts, or you can find the Vonnie Podcast there on Fascist Book. And if you haven't already, go like that page. I post some pretty neat stuff there. Jason Booth makes some pretty kick-ass memes that I post there pretty often. And lots of stuff there if you want to stay up to date and get, I guess, additional content in between the episodes. But yeah, go ahead, Kyle.
All right, last thing I'll mention here, I swear, is that I really want to thank, as we kick off this season 3, I would like to sincerely thank everybody so much who have stuck by us through the first 2 seasons and now going into the 3rd season, because in a lot of ways, this, as for me personally, this is the big payoff. We've covered the main curriculum that was done back then. Now we get to actually kind of play with it and yes, keep to the same spirit of it, of course. But now we get to kind of play with an experiment, which, oh, by the way, even the old man himself, basically was promoting other Vanuans to do, because this wasn't supposed to be some like cult of personality thing around him. And he never wanted that, as far as I can understand. He had this kind of general strategy, and he wanted the Vanu strategy to be developed beyond what he had. And that's what we're doing, is we're developing the Vanu strategy beyond what Rayo had, but still keeping with the same spirit. So I want to thank everybody profusely for sticking through the main curriculum. But now we're going to really have some fun and kind of be very creative with how we're going to try and see how close we can to becoming more invulnerable to coercion, as it were. Oh, and on a related note, sorry, one other thing. For newer listeners who haven't yet listened to the first 2 seasons, As we go into season three, maybe every once in a while we'll do like definitions or something, especially if it's something that was never mentioned on a previous episode. But generally speaking, and Shane, I think you'll be on board with this, let's keep redundancy to a minimum.
Yeah.
We really want to go for original material pretty much every single episode we do. There'll be a little bit of redundancy here and there just to kind of connect dots or whatever, but we don't want to spend a lot of inordinate amounts of time just saying the same stuff like 20 times over. So for newer listeners to season three, if we're mentioning certain concepts or terms like controlled schizophrenia, okay, like if you don't know what controlled schizophrenia is by now, then you need to go back to the season one episode on controlled schizophrenia and get the basics down, because that's why we did it back then. But yeah, let's keep redundancy to a minimum. Let's keep originality to a maximum as we go through the season three. And yeah, for all the newer listeners, hey, thanks for, you know, giving us a try. But for your own sanity, please listen the first two seasons first, and then come back to season three, just so that you don't get confused.
Right. And at the very least, if you know, you want to catch on now, you don't have time to go listen to you know, all those episodes in season one and two, listen to the conclusionary episodes in season one and season two. Those will give you a decent idea. I know in season one we went through the definitions again, so I think that was probably an hour to 2 hours, I don't know, versus, you know, the 20-25 hours that it would be to listen to the entire season. Although I would recommend that, but if you don't have time, and you know, we certainly understand, at least listen to the conclusionary episodes for the previous two seasons. But I want to end with you know, something we won't do very often here in season three, but I think it demonstrates the purpose of this the season, you know, very, very well. So Rayo said, and this was in Vanu, The Search for Personal Freedom, Vanu Book 1, quote, "A Vanuan to me is not just someone living in a particular manner. Lifestyles may change. A lifestyle which was Vanu 100 years ago may not be Vanu today. Some lifestyles Vanu today were not possible 100 years ago and may not be Vanu 50 years from now. A Vanuan is someone who places a high value on relative invulnerability to coercion, someone for whom freedom is worth a fair amount, though not infinite, of effort, inconvenience, discomfort. To a Vanuan, Vanu is not just a means to other ends, nor is it an ultimate end. Like most qualities of life, and life itself, it is both. A Vanuan will choose whatever way of living offers personal sovereignty, and will change lifestyle again and again if necessary," end quote. That is the task of this season three of the Vanu podcast, to find out what counts as Vanu now and how to implement those strategies to make yourself more invulnerable to coercion. Until next week.